You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Our government,
the economy,
put Americans back to work,
freeze government spending,
alternative sources of finance.
Just to give you a sense of perspective.
Good morning. It's Monday morning. Time to take a look at what's on the schedule, what's on the agenda for this week. And here to let us know, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. And Rob Watson also joins us, political correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to be talking a lot about money this week, Marcus, right? That's I mean, we have a lot of economic numbers coming out, and the job numbers for January are coming out on Friday. So what do you think? Are these numbers for January going to give us a picture for the rest of the year?
In this case, they will. You know, that old saying that when it comes to markets and money, January often sets the course for the year. As goes January, so goes the year. In this case, it will be true for job creation. It's despite the fact that Americans aren't feeling the end of the recession as much as they'd like to, we do expect there to be an increase in jobs this month and gaining momentum as the year goes on. Jobs really increasing by the end of the year, a much better feeling amongst the American people and American workers.
So you agree with some analysts who say we're going to actually adding jobs next month?
I'm not going to go there. we are still too close, I think, to the turning point of whether or not we're adding or losing a little bit.
Okay, but what about the markets? Because the S&P stocks had a terrible month in January. Where are the markets going?
Well, if the markets keep doing what they did in January,
I was going to say
it's going to be a very painful year. Well, you know, you have two things here. You have number one, job creation always follows the economic cycle because it's looking backwards, whereas the markets often precede the economic cycle. So the markets actually are anticipating future profits for corporations and for shareholders. So when they start to go down, that means that people think, well, you know, things don't look so great in the longer term. So it's a kind of looking at two different sides of the train: the top of the beginning of the train, and the end of the train. But secondly, also, last year was a phenomenal year for the markets after a lot of down time, and we expect January this year was a correction that probably won't, you know, presage exactly what happened for the rest of the year, because if it does, we're all going to be a lot poorer, even if we still have jobs.
Well, speaking of being poor, President Obama is set to present his 2011 budget this week. We're going to be talking about that in detail later in the hour. But what do you expect some of the – he's talking about freezing spending. Where do we expect these cuts to be?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the president proposes a budget, and Congress – doesn't actually vote on the whole thing, you know. So he'll propose some cuts that he proposed last year, things like consolidating education programs, things like closing down the kind of abandoned mines program, which gives states money to shut abandoned mines. These are all little things around the edges that last year, again, Congress ignored most of his suggestions on cuts. They spent all the money, you know, he suggested they spend, but they didn't cut as much as he suggested they cut. This is a perennial problem with Congress. This is a president who promised in the State of the Union he's actually going to hold Congress's feet to the fire now and veto spending bills if he has to, unless they come along with the cuts. The Democrats seem very dedicated, so far without Republican support, to reinstate the pay-as-you-go rules, meaning if you add spending, you have to cut somewhere else. If you want to decrease someone's taxes, you have to find cut somewhere else. So we'll see if they actually can bring that back in line. But that's what the Democrats plan to do. Over the long term, he'd reduce this massive record $1.6 trillion deficit that he's going to propose with this year's budget. He would reduce that by 2013 by half. We'll see if they can pull it off, though, because, again, the politics of it are not nearly as easy as the math.
Okay. Rob Watson, let's turn to you. Speaking of international news, because the trial of five American terrorist suspects begins in Pakistan this week, what are we hearing about this trial?
Well, it's certainly a very interesting one for the United States, because it raises this broader issue of, does the United States need to be as worried about homegrown Islamic extremism amongst its Muslim population, particularly those born in places like Pakistan, Egypt, and Somalia, as, for example, governments are very much so in Europe. Now, up to now, as far as I understand this case, the five are accused of wanting to make contact with an extremist Islamic group in the northwest of Pakistan.
They've also complained, these five young Muslims, they disappeared late last year and showed up in Pakistan. They've complained that they've been tortured. Has there been evidence of that?
Well, you know how it is with these kind of cases. You get lots of allegations. There have certainly been many in the past against the Pakistani authorities. They are, of course, incredibly difficult to verify. As things stand, the attitude that the U.S. authorities seem to have over this case is, let's wait and see for the details to come out. But I think it's certainly the case that the FBI were blindsided a bit about this. They apparently first heard of the possible case against these five after their families had handed over certain computer and video evidence to an American Muslim group who then got in touch with the FBI.
Well, let's stay overseas with you still, Rob, and talk about the U.S. and Russia. They're going to start negotiating again today in Geneva to revamp the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. The goal is to reduce the number of nuclear arms out there. What do we expect from the negotiations? Is there going to be a new tack?
Well, we keep hearing that they are very, very close indeed to an agreement. As you say, the purpose of this treaty is to get those long-range strategic warheads down to between, say, 1,500 and 1,675. At the moment, the U.S. is supposed to have just over 2,000, the Russians about 1,000. And this was always seen as perhaps the easiest thing that the Russians and the Americans could do to reset their relationship, to use that well-known phrase. I think perhaps most interestingly, you know, it may be less of a problem for Russian and American negotiators to reach an agreement than it might be to get any treaty ratified in the Senate.
Okay, that's Rob Watson, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. And Marcus, let's go back to you to wrap up here, because Paul Volcker is going to be testifying at a congressional hearing on Tuesday. Is this the man that's coming out of the Obama administration to kind of take some of the heat off of Geithner?
Well, this is very exciting. Some would say that he's displacing Geithner somewhat. After the administration has not had a lot of success, or even really, you have to say, shown a lot of backbone enforcing financial reform on Wall Street, despite, you know, the huge catastrophe we faced.
And despite that Volcker was recommending all this months and months and months ago.
Absolutely. Now, suddenly, it seems, and the president came out last week with Volcker by his side, and it seems like, you know, he's going to enforce the Volcker rules on American banks. We're not totally sure what the Volcker rules are. Exactly. We're hoping on Tuesday to get more elucidation, but we hope that we expect it to be that actually commercial banks will not be able to trade nearly as much in things like derivatives and commodities.
Okay, we'll see if that happens. Marcus Mabry, International Business Editor for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.